chapter 18, Luke chapter 18. 8 verses to read. Chapter breaks can sometimes cause us to forget the connection. I love chapter breaks. I love verses. It does help us reference things quickly. It helps us use our sword better. But sometimes it causes us to forget what the previous chapter said, because it's all connected. Luke chapter 18, let's read this. It's a parable. And title of the message, longest title of the message I may have ever had. When Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? And that comes from verse 8. I believe verse 8 is the whole point of this parable. Remember, a parable, it's an illustration, a story that comes alongside already existing truth. And Jesus gives us this parable right after he preaches and teaches on his return. And so this parable is to, remember this as well, parables were to believers. And it would help them and challenge them and give them an illustration about what really matters after we trust in Christ and how to navigate this life in Christ. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to quit. Saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man, or didn't care for man. I don't care. And so, bad guy, right? Just not a good guy, not a good judge. Verse 2 again, saying, Jesus gives this story, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city. I give you this, Jesus, he brings about the lowly, right? And widows were historically so neglected, so abused, and that's why Jesus emphasizes them, the Bible emphasizes them, that, you know, true religion undefiled is to the fatherless and the widows. And so he brings this, and because in yesteryear and even today, you know, oh well, you know, you had your life out of sight, out of mind, it's just not good. We want to honor Christ. We will honor the fatherless, the widows, the poor, the stranger. We will, and that's hard work. It's hard work, but that honors Christ. Start at verse 2 again. Sorry. I'll try not to interrupt the story anymore. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, unto the judge, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Somebody had done her wrong, and she wants the judge to take care of it. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. But he finally avenged her of her adversary, but not because he cared, just so she'd leave him alone. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect? It's just another word for the saved. Those have been chosen for special service. So, and the Lord said, verse 6, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily in his time. And, you know, his time, 6,000 years, is about how long we've been here, that's nothing compared to eternity. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Tell a message, when Christ returns, will he find faith on the earth? It's going to be about prayer, but I want us to understand what prayer is about, and I'm convinced that so many of us, me included, we can forget what prayer is about, and if we have a very narrow or limited and maybe jaded view of prayer, we'll stop. And that's really not what the Bible talks about. I also want to tell you this. There's an overall theme here. And so I don't think this is teaching this either. I don't think it's teaching, if you bug God long enough, you'll twist his arm and he'll, uncle, okay, fine. That's not what this is teaching either. I think he's just comparing himself because God is the judge. He will be the judge of all that are in this room. And God always does what's right. And so, oh, Christian, so I'm talking to those you say, I've truly turned from my sin. I've trusted in Christ. Oh, Christian, will we trust in him though things aren't looking like God is taking care of his business? I want to show you a verse here. Show you a verse. I'm 99% sure that I put this here. I didn't. I intended to. Turn to Revelation chapter 6 then. Revelation chapter 6. Ah, the reason I didn't remember is it's you know, when I put these together and I literally when I put it together go, oh, I'm going to put this verse right at the entry, the introduction, and I didn't put it on the slides. Dummy. Shouldn't say that either. It's not good to put yourself down because I think we're ultimately putting God down. So don't do that. Don't follow me with that. Revelation chapter 6. I am not going to read any other verses than these because Revelation chapter 6 is just chock full of like, whoa. Revelation chapter 6 verse 9. This is an angel that had the seals of God. And there's these seals that he will open. And it says, and when he, the angel, had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Let me just give you a little background. This is talking about people during the Great Tribulation. They've been slain, they've been slaughtered, they've been martyred for the cause of Christ. God didn't let them down. But then they say in verse 10, these martyrs, these souls, these believers that were slain, they cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Faithful, they've given their lives, and they ask, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? It is interesting that this widow is looking for vengeance, and the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We have no right to take vengeance on anyone. The only place the Bible says it's okay for a believer to take vengeance on is your sin. Oh, Christian, we should take vengeance on what we were, and that the way we take vengeance on our sin is by doing what's right and honoring God today. That's in Ephesians. So we are not to take vengeance on people. God gave us government to take care of the good and the bad. God gave us himself that he will ultimately do what is right and do what is just. And don't you fret about it. God will take care of everything. You got a tiger by the tail just taking care of yourself. Just enjoy. Romans chapter 2 says, if we condemn others for their sin, then we are misrepresenting God. That doesn't mean we can't judge when somebody's in sin, and judging is discerning, and we can highlight that, but if we condemn them, that's the evil. You know, I want you to understand, we can identify sin, we can identify a sinner, and we are to love the sinner, and let their sin, I don't back off of sin. But it is, it's not our job. It's interesting. I gave you Revelation chapter 6, and I think I actually may have it in my slides later. Maybe I didn't put it anywhere. But it is because of this. I will tell you this. This passage is this. Are you in the fight? If you're a Christian, there's a war going on. We're going to see a few more verses. There's a battle going on. A battle for your soul. And the devil's just wanting to derail you from effectiveness for Christ. But if you're a Christian, you are called to be a soldier, soldierette, right? And so it is, we're in a fight, and people are not our enemies. They're not. But here's the reality. I think when Jesus asked this question, will he find faith on the earth when he returns? I think there's fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer Christians that are in the fight. That's what this parable's about. And it's about prayer and what prayer is all about. Let's just look at, walk through this passage. Men ought always to pray. I've got 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to quit. And so it's just, it's regular communication. I want you to understand this. The great purpose of prayer, we're going to look at the elements of prayer, I'll give you the passage, but we're going to look at the purpose of prayer is to commune with God, is to be with God, and to just walk with Him, talk with Him, and have Him on our hearts, on our minds, on our lips at all times. And so here's what happens. You know what causes us to stop praying? When we get discouraged and think God let us down and there's no need, no use to turn to Him. He's not listening to me anyway. Those are false lies of the devil. If you think the only reason to pray is because you have needs, and it's so fascinating with Hope Cares Wednesday night, it's a soft way to introduce ourselves, and we do want to pray for our neighbors. The first year we did it, it was right after COVID, and we were inundated with prayer requests because there was trouble in the land. There's not so much trouble in the land, and I know there's trouble. I mean, gas is $4 a gallon, but that's really not trouble. And it's shocking when we knock on doors, say, we just came by, is anything we can pray about? I mean, it is virtual. No, nothing to pray about. Nothing to pray about. I look forward to the day that somebody will say, I would love to pray. Let's pray right now just so that we can talk to our great God. That would be so cool. I want you to understand, we ought to pray always because there's nobody better to be with. If you're waiting for needs, the devil just might take away all your needs so that you're just happy, complacent, satisfied, and useless for the kingdom. See, but I'll tell you this, if you're in the war, you're going to have enemies. And you're going to have trouble. And you're going to have difficulty. And it'll turn you to the Lord. And He says this, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. Will you trust me? Or will you faint? Saw an old friend, and it's not so much figurative anymore. And it is so crazy. If only you understood. I have no idea what color my hair is right now, and I feel as spry as a chicken. And I've heard they're spry, right? And so I feel as young as anybody in this room. You know, I know I'm not, but it is. So when I'm talking to people, even that I know that are my age, and so this guy says, yeah, I've retired. I was shocked. And I guess I'm at retirement age. I'm not retiring. I don't think about it. I get to do what I want to do. So it was kind of, I'm retired. I'm like, how are you retired? I'm thinking, that must mean my wife's getting really old. And so I was like, okay, yeah, you're retired. You're retired. I guess that's what my friends are starting to do now. And, you know, I didn't get to get in my speech, but, and I love him, and I said, well, what's retirement look like? He's been retired, I guess, 3, 4, 5 months. I said, what's retirement been looking like? And I just wanted to see what he would say, and I was just bummed. He's a good guy. I think he's a believer. Nothing about the Lord. Going to build a house. I'm not saying it's wrong to build a house. We're doing it all, so we are just overwhelmed and dominated with that every day. You know? You know what I tell them? Don't build a house then. You don't have time to be dominated. The night cometh when no man can work. Let's be focused on the kingdom of God. I didn't say it's wrong to have a house. I didn't say it's wrong to build a house. But my problem is the devil has fooled so many of us in this room, me included, that we forget that there's a battle out there. And I'm telling you, it just might be reflected in our prayer life. Do we really talk to the Lord because He is our refuge? He is our escape? He is the one we need because there are rockets and missiles and bombs spiritually going off all over, and I don't want to walk out this building without the Lord being with me. And I know He'll be with me, but I just like to talk to Him anyway. You see, prayer is about God. I want to just quickly review. This is from the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. And so these are the components. Remember this, Jesus never intended us just to go around quoting the Lord's Prayer. I think it's a good prayer to memorize. It's a good passage of Scripture to memorize. But right before He gives this, He says, after this manner pray. And so it's the elements. Right before He gives this in Matthew 6, He says, you know, that the Pharisees would just pray in public to be seen, and they would vain repetition. And so just saying the same things over and over and over again. I told you when I had a supposed heart attack years ago that the surgeon came in, and he goes, I'm a believer. Oh, you're a believer. I say, that's good. That's good. And he goes, would you mind if I prayed with you? And I'm like, oh. I hadn't agreed to have surgery yet. You know, because it's kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. I dropped by the hospital, and they said, oh, you're in bad shape. And I said, I would love that. Now, if he would have said, now I lay me down to sleep, Lord, I pray my soul to keep, I would have said, you know, I think I'll pass on that surgery. I think, but when he prayed, I was like, whoa, he knew the Lord. It wasn't like the first time he talked to Him. He poured out his heart for God to guide his hand, God to give him the sight that he would know what's wrong. I mean, he knew the Lord. And after he prayed, I said, I think I'm supposed to be here. And I said, I probably should call my wife. My wife didn't know about it. Because I just dropped in. I thought they'd give me a baby aspirin and say, suck it up, buttercup. You're fine. Get out of here. And so then I had to go into surgery, but then I called Deb. And it was all good. The Lord blessed, right? So just be glad, you know. I didn't want to worry her. But anyway. But he knew how to pray. I want to ask you, here's the elements of the prayer. I want you to tell you this. Prayer is first and foremost and primarily about God. About God. And I'm just telling you, if I review my thoughts, it's usually about me. There is a part that's about us. There's a part that's personal. But I want to, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's how it opens. And so it helps us who we pray into. We're talking to God the Father. It's okay if you talk to Jesus. I'm not saying that's wrong. But Jesus didn't pray to Himself. He talked to the Father. Right? It's hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I want you to see this. Prayer is about God's name, His kingdom, and His will. Remember we talked about His name. It's about all that He is, His character, who He is. It's so that we are representatives. If you're a believer in Christ, we're ambassadors of Christ. Where are you at? What are you doing? What are you saying? How are you behaving? What's your spirit? All those, you represent or misrepresent God if in any way, shape, or form you let people know that you're a believer. Because life is about His name, His kingdom, and His will. That's why we pray, to talk to Him, just to be with Him, just to enjoy Him. Do we do that? If you're in a battle, you will. And then the personal things, they're very limited. He said, give us this day our daily bread. I'll summarize that up, and I'll say physical provisions. Now, I'll just throw a seed out here. You guys find me, okay? I know what passage you're going to go to. Find me one passage in the Bible. One passage in the Bible that encourages us to pray for our physical needs. For the body. I don't think James chapter 5 is it. I'll just give you a little insight on that. We are dominated with that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just telling you this. It's, you won't find a passage in the Bible. It's all spiritual. He says, give us this day our daily bread. So I'll just say physical provision. So I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong for us to pray about Bev's surgery. I don't think it's wrong to pray for Lana's mother. I don't. You know, I think we ought to think about what we're asking for. And I think those are all good things. But it's really, you're going to fall apart and you're going to die. Read Ecclesiastes. The older I get, it's one of my least favorite books of the Bible. Because it's so honest. And I'm like, whoa. I like to feel sorry for other people and imagine that I'm not experiencing Ecclesiastes just yet. Because it just talks about this. My grinders are going to fail. My teeth. My ears. I'm going for a hearing test on Tuesday. My family says I need a hearing test. I don't need a hearing test. What'd you say? But it is, so I'm going, you know, all these things, so I'm falling apart. That's all right. That's all right. And so they, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to pass that test. And so it'll be so discouraging to me if I come back and they're like, man, I can't believe you can hear us. I'll be like, but I'm falling apart. It's because of sin. God cares about our physical provision, but let me tell you this, it's spiritual. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's when you really understand that it's about Him and it's about the spiritual needs. Now, give us this day our daily bread. And He says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, Christian, you should still confess your sins to the Lord, not because you're worried about going to hell, because you care about your fellowship with Him. And when we sin, it's when we don't discipline this flesh and this flesh sins, it's dishonoring to God, and we need to make things right. You want your sweet communion, your sweet fellowship to be interrupted with God, it will be sin. And let me tell you, if you don't make it right with God, you will not stay in your Bible and you will not keep coming to church. You'll drop out. And you'll have all kinds of excuses, but the real heart of the matter is, it's probably you haven't made it right with God and admitted you've sinned. You know, when you should make it right away. Humble yourself. I need to humble myself. There's no reason to delay sin. When I've been saved, He removed all my sins. I will no longer be punished for my sin, but sin's still my issue. Find me a Christian that's useless for the kingdom. It's sin. Could just be simple selfishness, pride. It could be deep, dark sin. All sin's terrible. But it's forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's about staying away from evil, staying away from sin, staying away from places that'll draw me into sin. And then it finishes, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Prayer is about God. If prayer is about you and you think God has stopped listening to you, then you'll stop praying. Remember Jesus, look at verse 8 in Luke chapter 18. He says at the end, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? It's this. I honestly, it's this whole thing about people not having prayer requests at their door. I can't tell you the last time somebody gave me a prayer request. So here's kind of my standard way. I'll be like, wow, God's been good to you, that you have nothing to take to the Creator of the universe, the one that could change anything according to His will, the one that can just intervene dramatically. That is an amazing statement that life is going that well for you. Now, I then don't continue, and something's wrong with you. I don't say that either. It is, you know, it's that whatever. And are our prayer requests attached to His kingdom, His glory, His honor, and His power? You see, I'm telling you, it's what it's all about. So then Jesus, He walks through this parable, but I want to challenge you this, is we talk this. In fact, the song is just perfect. Abide, abide, oh, abide with me. One of the great ways to abide, to immerse, to live with God is in prayer. And one of the things to know about prayer, what to pray about, is by being in His Word. But it is this, praying always without ceasing. It's just walking with God, living with God, talking with God. But you know what? Will He find faith? Will He find people that still trust in Him? That still just walk with Him, even when days are dark, even when days are confusing? Or have we all forgotten, and I'm going to build a house. I'm going to just travel the world. Look, there'll be a day I can't pastor. And I hope I'm conscious and aware of that, and don't force you guys to have to tell me that. You're like, we've been meaning to talk to you. It is, You didn't laugh. That makes me nervous. Now, let me try that again. We've been meaning to talk to you. Laugh really hard. There you go. Okay. Honey, we may be going to Africa faster than we thought. It's but there's going to be a day I can't pastor. There's going to be a day I can't pastor. I can't do it with the ability and the passion and the care and all of that. But I will tell you this, Alberto, this is your assignment for the rest of your life, as long as I'm living. Right? You get a spiritual 2x4, not a real one, just so you know. And I want to tell you this. You wake me up if all of a sudden you see me, all I'm caring about are the things of this world. I'm going to love my grandkids. You know I'm going to love my grandkids. I think it's good to love my grandkids, but I want to tell you this. You know, I'm going to love my grandkids. They're a gift of God. I'm going to love my grandkids in the gospel, in God, and I'm going to enjoy them. I'm going to enjoy every minute of them, and I'm going to love them, but I'm going to remember this. It's all about His kingdom, His glory, His honor, His power, and there's a fight to be fought, and by God's grace, I'm going to fight that fight. I love what Paul said. I fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I want to finish my course. I want to fight the good fight. I want to fight the good fight until I have no oxygen left in the tank. I don't want to get to heaven and be like, man, there was a lot of oxygen left in the tank. I want to spend it for Christ. And I need your help. That's why I tell you that. You think, oh, you don't need me. Oh, you don't know me. I'm the flakiest guy in this room. If I was good at golf, I would be super tempted to play more. I enjoy golf. I think it's a gift of God that I'm terrible. It is, so that it's less tempting for me. I think it's okay for me to enjoy golf. My wife thinks I might enjoy it too often. But I want to tell you, it's about His glory, His kingdom, and His honor. Do you understand? That's what this parable's about. Now let's walk through the parable. Let's just see. We've got this bad judge. He didn't fear God and had no care for people. And so I want you to know this. Basically, this judge violates the first two, the commandments that sum up everything. Love the Lord with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, I don't fear God, and I don't care about people. Let me just give you, just listen. I'm going to give you just some Bible descriptions of the fear of the Lord. Job 28:28 says, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Fear of the Lord is wisdom. Psalm 19:9 says, the fear of the Lord is clean. Just take what the Bible says. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. Because if we fear Him and fear of the Lord, biblical fear will make us flee to Him, not flee away. So don't take your concept of Friday the 13th fear and think that's the fear of the Lord. It'll help you hate evil. It's clean. It prolongs days. Fear of the Lord is wisdom. It says in Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Here's the beautiful thing. If the fear of the Lord has us hate evil, is clean, has us run from sin, when life doesn't go our way, we can have strong confidence. You know why? Because we know who we serve. We know that He's in charge, and we know we can trust Him. And you know what? It's not going quite really well right now, but I just know this. God can be trusted. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You want to live? You want to have joy? You want to have life? And I'm not selling Jesus. I will tell you, it begins with the fear of the Lord. Because when I stop fearing the Lord, I'll sin. And when I sin, it messes up everything. Relationships, life, my thinking, everything. The fear of the Lord. Listen to Proverbs 22:4. It says, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. It doesn't necessarily mean riches here, this side of heaven. I want to store away eternal riches. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. One more verse, Proverbs 15:16. Better is life with the fear. Better is little. Excuse me. Read your own writing, Steve. Better is little. I thought, that's not life, but it would work too. But better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. This guy didn't fear God, and so one of the outcomes of not fearing God, you'll not like the ways of God. The world doesn't want the ways of God. They want the blessings of God. They love the sunshine. They love the food that He provides, the oxygen mix that's perfect for us that we can thrive. And They want all the goodness of God, and when something bad happens, they blame him. But I fear that many of us in this room were the same way. Where is prayer in your life? Where is prayer in your life? Now, the request, avenge me of mine adversary. And so I didn't. You know why I didn't put Revelation 6 here? Because I was supposed to put it at the beginning. So I forgot. I took it out of this part. Anyway, let me show you. The request was avenge me of mine adversaries. Again, if you misunderstand this passage, and I've had these thoughts in the past, what is this passage talking about? Luke 18. Is it talking about nagging the Lord so incessantly that you will manipulate the Lord and get your way? Not at all. Not at all. When we pray, and we pray in Jesus' name, we're praying according to His will. If we really include the elements, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. When we pray, we want God's will done, not necessarily what we want done. If what we want done is what He wants done, then that's what's going to happen. But look at this. I just want to show you a couple of verses. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. I want you to notice this. It's so interesting. Prayer and tribulation, prayer and trouble, prayer and battles, prayer and difficulty, they are linked. You all know this. When do you pray more? When there's trouble. But here's the reality. If we're doing the work of God, we should probably always be dealing with trouble, and we shouldn't view that as bad. We should view that as good, because there's a fight to be fought. There's a battle to be fought, and let's let it draw us nigh to the Lord and find comfort in Him, and let's not let our trust waver in Him. Romans 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Now look at Ephesians 6. Some of you know Ephesians 6. That's putting on the whole armor of God. At the end of the armor of God, he says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He's like this. There's a battle. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. And it says then, you know, putting on the helmet of salvation and all the armor of God. And then he finishes praying always with all prayer and supplication. If you're in the battle, you will pray. Here's the question. Why don't we pray? I don't think we have any enemies to be avenged. I think the devil has us right where he wants us. We're complacent. And as long as everything's okay, Sunday morning's just fine. I don't need to come on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I don't need to come on outreach. You know, everything's working just fine for me, preacher. I'm just fine. Because you've made it about you, you've made it about your circumstances, you haven't made it about God. I will tell you, heaven is going to be all about God, and we're going to love it, those of us that are truly His. Avenge me of mine adversary. Here's what I know. I can say this with this parable. Joe, you can ask the Lord how long, and you can say, avenge me of my enemies. You know what God's going to do? Speedily, He'll take care of it. That is a prayer that He, and if we're being attacked and battled, it's interesting. God told Paul after three times, Paul said, take this thorn in the flesh away. And God said, no more, Paul. No more, Paul. And once he knew the purpose of it, he said, I glory in mine infirmities. If you only pray so that it's removed, if you only pray so that it's fixed, and it doesn't get fixed, and it doesn't go the way you want, you'll stop praying. See, we must trust in the Lord that Father knows best. That woman that Stephen and I ran into the other night, she asked a question that I'm just pondering so much. She said, you know, if there's such a great God, why is the world so bad? And I just want you to know this, it's not God's fault. I ask people this, so I ask you this. Maybe I've asked this. If a child's molested, would you stop it? Why doesn't God? I'm going to suggest this, because it would violate his character and his justice. And here's why. Here's the thought. Thought of the day. You can disagree with me. God's way better than us. Don't you think he'd stop it? The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We are in such a world of sin, God can't show respect to persons and thwart consequences. You don't think God would stop that molesting? He talks about children like almost nobody else. Little children being abused, he says, you're in trouble. It'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the abyss than for you to hurt one of these little ones. And you say, I don't want to misrepresent God, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I just know this. Brother Lee, he would if he could. But there's some, you know what? Because I take the extreme. I think I've talked this recently. He can't stop you from dying, or that would be unjust. Is that true? That's true. And I'm just bringing a little bit more downstream. And I'm not trying to make excuses for God, but those are just, aren't those tough questions? You'd stop that evil and that terrible stuff. And God's way better than us. I'm just telling you this. God cares more than us. God loves more than us. God cares, and he cares for the little ones, the ones that don't know their right hand from their left. He cares for those little ones. And for me to suggest to anyone, and you don't hear me say this anymore, he could, but he didn't. I don't know if he can, justly so. You follow me? God can't lie. God can't be unjust. I don't know. I just know this. We are blaming God when it's not God's fault. And this world's going to be destroyed. You see, if I'm ravaged with cancer, I may not know it right now. It's not God's fault. He didn't let me down at all. It's a consequence of sin, maybe generational, maybe my personal sin. My DNA is less than Adam and Eve's, duh, right? And so I want to help you understand this. This is so fascinating. I want to ask this question, and I'm almost done. How many of you have ever asked God to avenge your enemies? Okay, Odin. All right, a few. All right, good, good. I don't feel like I have that many enemies. And you know what that would indicate to me? I'm just going to take it personal. I'm not in the fight. I'm not feeling like I need avenging of my enemies. And it's maybe why I pray less. I told you one of my good friends when I surrendered to pastor, he said, you know what your struggle is going to be? Prayer. He said so much in that statement almost 15 years ago. That what he said is, Steve, you're not in the battle the way you should be. Because if you are, it'll put you on your knees. Steve, if you're really going to do the work of God, the devil will attack you and it'll honor God. Are you ready for that? The reason I don't pray is I'm not really being attacked. And I would suggest the reason I'm not being attacked is because I'm not really engaged. And you know what my problem is? I can compare myself to others. And you know what that is? That's called sin as well. When I compare myself to the holiness of God, I'm going to just tell you this. I don't care what you say. I'm not in the battle like I should be. And if I was in the battle like I should be, I think I'd be praying for the vengeance on my enemies and leave that in the Lord's hand. And the more difficult times I have, the closer I'll be with the Lord. You're either going to draw close to the Lord during difficult times, or you're going to say, he's never mine and I don't want anything to do with him. I'm just telling you, this parable comes back to this. That God will, the judge gives in because of her persistence, but God will avenge his children. And then I'm going to finish with this. When Jesus returns, will he find faith on the earth? You see, it's this judge gave in for her persistence. And all that God's saying is, you have an evil man, a judge that doesn't fear God, regards not man, doesn't care about people, and he actually did what was just for the wrong reason. See, true justice, God will do true justice. It'll be the right thing for the right reason, and everything will be perfect about it. He's saying this. He gave us this parable because guess what? It was right after he taught about the second coming. And when you read about the second coming, and if you're here during the second coming and you're a believer, you know, I believe all believers prior to that 7 years will be taken out. But let's just say some of you are left and you get saved. You can't imagine, even though God gives us a great description in Revelation, you can't imagine how rough it's going to be for believers during the Great Tribulation. And he's just telling them this, I will do what's right for the right reason. And I'm going to suggest this. I'm going to show you this passage and I'm done. I'm going to show you. It's right in Luke chapter 18. Look at this. I want to explain this phrase. Look at this phrase, verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Now, this the them could be and probably is, and I'm going to do it a different, could be and probably is talking about the believers, though he bear long with them. But I'm going to suggest this. I'm going to take a different spin. Look at verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? He says he'll do it speedily, but why isn't it not speedy enough? And we go back to 1 Peter that said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He explains that in 1 Peter because he's mocked now that we've been saying for 2,000 years, Jesus is coming again. And people go, that's so dumb. That's so ridiculous. You guys have been saying that forever. Where is he? It's exactly what 1 Peter says. And God explains why. He says this. He wants you to be saved. There are lost people under my preaching this morning, and I don't know who you are. I pray you do. Jesus hasn't come back yet so that you might be saved. He hasn't avenged the adversary yet, and the great adversary is the devil. He hasn't avenged the devil yet so that you might be saved, so that your children might be saved, so that your grandchildren might be saved. That's the goodness of God. Will we trust him? You see, I'm telling you, let's get in the battle. Let's get in the battle. Let's do the work of God. Let's be kind about it. Remember this, battle doesn't mean you have to be mean. Battle doesn't mean you have to be a jerk. I'd say we need to be bold. We need to be, you know, kindly bold. But I will tell you this, if we get into the battle, it'll put us on our knees. And you know this, I'm not on my knees enough. You know why? Everything's going okay. Church attendance is good enough. I can feel okay about it. That's when I'm thinking dumb, right? Thinking stupid. I should never base anything on how many rear ends are sitting in the auditorium. I'm just telling you this, and I know people don't like this. I will constantly, by God's grace, I know when we're in the battle, we'll turn Fairfield upside down. And I know that's laughable right now, but our God's that big. We get in the battle, and we really trust him, we'll turn Fairfield upside down. And I know this. And you know who's the greatest? Who I have greater responsibility, and I'm at fault more than anybody in this room, so I'm not pointing my fingers at you. It's poor leadership. It's lack of leadership. It's lack of me leading you into the battle. If we do with faith in the Lord, we can turn Fairfield upside down. That's how big God is. Without a doubt, I believe that with all my heart. I just want to tell you this. This is about prayer, and it's this. Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find believers that are saying, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm not quit. And by God's grace, I'm going to examine my life and say, you know what? I'm too much into the world. I'm too much temporal. My friend that I pray he doesn't watch these sermons, because I don't think he does. He doesn't know he is. It's my wife. So I was like, and it's this. He's not involved in bad things. Building a house is not a bad thing. Complete distraction from the kingdom. Building a house far away from people. I don't say you have to live in the city. I don't say you have to live in the suburbs. I'm just telling you this. If you want to honor Christ, it's about people. And when you get involved with people, it's messy. Get involved with me, messy. Get involved in the Lord's work, it'll put you on your knees. Look, this message is for me more than anybody. When Jesus comes back, will he find a people that are saying, we knew you'd come. We've just been about your business, and we knew you'd be here. You see, it's completely different than I've always just had a reading view. It's not about bugging God to get your way. It's about doing his work, and you will be with him. Prayer. We sang, abide, abide, oh, abide with me. And you know what God says? Just talk to me. I feel bad. Sometimes my wife, I'll come home, and I'm busy, and I've been gone all day. And she has to say this sometimes, and this is bad, but I'm glad she says it. Why don't you come in here and talk with me? And you know what? I used to resist that more in yesteryear. You know what I do? I feel bad about it. I'm glad to come talk to you. You know this? I hope you don't have to keep saying that. Would you come in here and just talk to me? You know, next time I ought to say, how come you don't come in here and talk to me? No, but but you know, I just want to tell you this. The Lord just wants to spend time with you. He's all the love languages. He's quality time. He just wants to spend time with you. And you know what will cause us to spend time with him? Trouble. And you know what will give us trouble? When we do the work of God. I know that's not a popular message. You do the work, trouble's coming. Praise the Lord. It'll get you close to him. And if you really believe the scriptures, there's no better place than to be in the presence of God. I ask you this, are we in the fight? Or are we just playing religion? Help me. I've got to change. We all have to change. The battle's worth it. It'll put us on our knees when we get there. Let's pray.